Amen, Mom. Thank God for a praying mother. You know, he's one of the greatest Old Testament heroes in my book. Two books of the Bible were even named after him. He was one of the first prophets. He was one of the last judges. And he was also a priest to God. What a remarkable man this was. He was anointed later on, but he anointed the first king, which was Saul. Then he anointed the second king of Israel, which was David. And he was bright and light. You got to understand the time in which he lived was so dark. It was one of the darkest periods in Israel's history. And yet this man rises to the top and he brings light into a dark nation of Israel. At the time when they were just demoralized, the priesthood has just taken a tank. And here this man rises to the top in the silence of God for over 300 years of judges. He comes onto the scene. And when he comes onto the scene, it is because of the burden of a godly mother. And the reason why Samuel comes into the scene because of Mom. Samuel is my topic this morning on this Mother's Day. The name Samuel shines in the darkest period, I said, during Israel's time. And his dedication to God was awesome. But you have to remember, his dedication to God did not begin with him. His dedication began with Mom, because Mom first dedicated herself to God. And that's why Samuel comes into the picture in a light that needed to be seen in a dark world through a godly mother who prayed. So this good man began his life with the greatest blessing that any person can have is a mother that prays. Now, as I go through this morning, this is for all of us. This mostly is for mothers today. I just want to encourage you as you walk through your life, a praying mother. But the principles that we're going to read this morning applies to everybody, that you can use the same godly principles in your life, whether you're a mother or not here this morning. So this is for you. But moms, I want to encourage you this morning through this text, how you can rise up and be a godly mother through what Hannah's going to show us this morning. So in your Bible, if you'd like to turn, it's going to be on the screens. Our scripture this morning is found in 1 Samuel chapter 2, just a few short verses, starting in 18, going down to 21. The scriptures read like this: "But Samuel ministered before the Lord, even as a child, wearing linen ephod. Moreover, his mother used to make him a little robe and bring it to him year by year when she came up with her husband to offer a yearly sacrifice. And Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'The Lord give you descendants from this woman for the loan which was given to you by the Lord.' Then they would go to their own home." Verse 21 says, "And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived and bore three sons and two daughters. Meanwhile, the child Samuel grew before the Lord." So that is our story. And that's kind of the prayer with the Eli. But let me back it up to the beginning of the story. Where did it all this happen? How did this whole event take place in the scriptures? And I want you to understand this. If you follow in the Old Testament especially, and then some in the New, if you follow the great men in scriptures, you follow them, you will find a mother that is praying for them. Goes without explanation. And again, often we see before God puts his hand on the boy, he's already put his hand on his mother, a praying mother. Redemptive story even follows this. So if you follow through the Old Testament scriptures, listen to this, dads. A faithful mother bearing a son, Sarah and Isaac. Remember that story? How about Rebecca and Jacob? Always starts with the mom. Rachel and Joseph, Ruth and Obed. Remember in the New Testament, you have the Elizabeth and John, Eunice and then Timothy. And then we all just know the story of Mary and Jesus. Amazing. You follow, that's the redemptive story. Mom and then the son, a praying mother and then the son. It always seems to me it follows that through the scripture, that line. Among all these stories in particular, I want us to stop in the book of Samuel and highlight Hannah in this story. The book of 1 and 2 Samuel tell the story just how God had used this and turned the nation, turned the hearts of this, his own people, Israel, back to God through a praying mother, which is Hannah, by giving Samuel to them. In this, we looked at this morning, where does this story of a king and kingdom begin? And as we look it back in Samuel, you're going to see the thread that all the way ends up with Jesus Christ himself because of a praying mother for her son. With this infertile woman pleading for a son, God closed her womb. We don't know why at this time in her life God shut her womb where she could not have children. So I have two thoughts for you this morning in this story, and I'm going to show you some text to follow it. The first one is Hannah's aggravation. Moms, you ever been aggravated at anything in life? So you might say, my womb is not barren. I don't fit that category. But have you ever been aggravated through situations in your own life? Sure we have. Sure you have. So listen to the points that she's and apply them to where you are today in your life. Life was not easy for Hannah in the home. Now, I'm going to point this out. Watch this. She was a wife to a man who had disregarded all of God's teaching. She had a husband that didn't care much about God at all. So this is her home life. She's almost by herself spiritually. It says in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 2, it says, Elkanah had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, and the name of the other was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children. And Hannah had how many? No children. This guy had two wives. One had children, one had no children. So at this time in history, kind of weird, polygamy was the norm. But in God's eyes, it was not the norm. But so for him to have two wives was kind of a common thing during the time of Israel. The other wife had children, Hannah had none, and the other wife was not kind about it. Huh. Have you ever had some unkind things said and go on in your own home? So the other woman was fertile. Hannah was barren. You have this dichotomy going on in the home. So she was a little bit aggravated of what the situation was in her house. The other wife had children. She had none. The stage is set now for God. We just sang that. For God to move. God is ready to move in this house through her aggravation. A prayer that will be God's appointed means to start moving. So the second thought was not only aggravation, but Hannah's prayer. Second point is Hannah's prayer. Peninnah can't help pointing her finger. Here she is. She has kids. Hannah has none. She goes around and she makes Hannah know that every day. I have kids and you have none. Could you imagine living with that? That's why she was so aggravated. So pointing the fingers, it says in 1 Samuel 1, 6 and 7, Hannah's rival used to provoke her, what? Grievously to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. She reminded Hannah every day, ha, your womb's closed. Mine's open. I have kids. You don't. What do you do in life, moms? What do you do this morning to the rest of us? When we're aggravated, when things seem to just not be going our way and people are pointing fingers at you and making it known. Huh, deal with that, Peninnah said to Hannah. Hannah turns to God. That's the amazing thing in this scripture. Instead of turning against Peninnah, which most of us would probably do, Hannah turns it to God, not to this other woman. Consider some of the ways that, besides prayer, how would you handle an aggravation in your life this morning? Maybe you're not in a situation as Hannah was, but you're in other situations today. All of us in this room, not only mothers. Would it be she could have become angry at God? Hannah could have done that and blamed him for closing her womb and said, God, this is just not fair. Look what's going on in my life. God, don't you often, or have you said that? God, this is not fair what's happening to me in my life. Or another excuse Hannah could have given, Peninnah has provoked me. I haven't done anything wrong. She's the one that's doing all this. God, I'm innocent. Just trying to live my life for you. Or I've come to the tabernacle. She did. It says in the verse we read, she came to the tabernacle every year bringing clothes for her son. And it says, I've done this, God. I've been to the tabernacle. I pray. I've done what you've done. I go to church every Sunday, God. Look at me. I'm even here on Mother's Day. And things are still not working out. She could have blamed everyone else. Elkanah, if you hadn't married that other woman, we wouldn't be in this situation. Or Peninnah gets me so stressed out, it's her fault. All those things Hannah could have said in her life. And you probably would have agreed with some of those this morning because we've all been there. We've all probably fought that in our own life. Huh. But I want you to listen to her prayer. It says this in 1 Samuel 1:11. It says, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant, which is her, and remember me, which is her, and not forget your servant, which is her, but will give your servant a son, then I will give the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head. So we know the rest of the story. God answers her prayer, and God gives her her son, which is Samuel. The Lord will hear Hannah and give Samuel. And when Samuel came on the picture, you remember it was 300 years of judges. Israel was in a hot mess. All their spiritual leaders were just pathetic. All the priests. And this is where Samuel comes on the scene. God answered her prayer, gives her Samuel. Look what Samuel did. Samuel would establish Israel's kingdom. Remember, he anointed Saul as the first king. Then he anointed David as the second king. He inaugurated the nation's prophetic line. He's one of the first prophets to come on the scene. And again, standing beside Moses, who Moses was a great mediator between the people and God the people, Samuel got to do that. His name was just as recognized as Moses was. It was through the prayer of Hannah, a once barren woman who had a son to rescue Israel. Don't mistake in that and don't take that lightly, because that is the crucial point of her prayer. Hannah could have gone to pieces. Instead, she went to prayer. Most often when we get aggravated, we go to pieces. She went to prayer, so we all can learn that. And God used this intolerable situation to drive Hannah to prayer. He took that situation. And often, that is the only thing, when things come into our life and they start rubbing against us and start aggravating us, that's the one place that God can use us to drive us to our knees, to recognize that God and God alone is the hope that we're looking for. And as you look at this prayer, not once did she pray, not twice, but she continually prayed all the time, constantly. Hannah's prayer and her waiting time as she prayed, what did it do? It exposed her need. It exposed her problem to God through her prayer. But at the same time, you have to remember her prayer was more than just her need. Now catch this. Her prayer was more to focus on God and God's purpose, what God wanted to do. And that's what set her prayer up differently than anybody's prayer at this time in the history of Israel, is Hannah's prayer. So for me, I'm reading this as a guy, learning from Hannah, what can I take away on this Mother's Day for me? So I'm looking at this in the time of waiting. What is God trying to do through this pastor's life when I'm praying, when I'm waiting, when I'm aggravated? What is God doing in that waiting time? Same thing he was doing with Hannah in her waiting time. She was praying and praying at the same time she was getting pointed fingers at this other woman, being criticized. But she kept on waiting on God. Is he trying to help me through this waiting time and prayer to maybe see him more? Is that what he's doing to you, moms? And during this time of waiting, is he trying to help me understand that maybe what I think I need, I don't really need? She thought she really needed a son, but God had a bigger, bigger plan than just a son. He wanted to do something very great through this son. So maybe the thing I'm praying for is not really what I think I really need on the surface level. And then I think of this, is he trying to teach me to be content with just what I have, not what I want? So I look at Hannah's prayer and I say, my gosh, I can learn from this woman. The miraculous thing is that God will somehow use my waiting time in my life. Now catch this, he'll use your waiting time as you're praying, as you're aggravated, as you're trying to figure out why, that he wants to grow your faith so that you could see Jesus clearer and more. So that you could want Jesus more in your life. So that you realize that you only need Jesus. And maybe not your prayer answered. Maybe that's why he's driving you mothers to your knees to pray. I saw this quote this week and it's so amazing. Is what you have in Christ is greater than anything that you do not have in this life. You realize that? What you have in Jesus Christ this morning is greater than what everything that you could have in this life. And I think that's what Hannah was realizing and helping us through this prayer. We might learn four things. If you want to jot them down on the back of your notes this morning, in her prayer life, what four things can I help you mothers this morning and the rest of us? The first one is the pain of hope. The pain of hope. So when I look at this pain of hope, years of infertility joined with Peniah's mockery. So you have a barren woman, you have the mockery going on with this other way. It just finally broke. The dam of her eyes just started releasing tears. She just could not contain it anymore. She just lost it one day. And it says this in the scriptures in 1 Samuel 1, 7, 10. It says that Hannah wept and would not eat. She was deeply distressed. She couldn't take it anymore. And yet, as so often as it happens, her tears became the trial that led her to her knees in prayer. She couldn't take it anymore. So she went to God in prayer. And it says this in 1 Samuel 9, 10 and 11, as the scriptures go on. And after they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose and prayed to the Lord and just wept bitterly. That's the pain of hope. God, I'm at a loss. I do not know what to do. The dam broke in her life and flooded with tears. She went to God and to pray. I don't know what Hannah's prayer life was before this story, because the scriptures doesn't say. But we sure do have a great insight what her prayer life looks like now through this prayer of a son. And this prayer and this pain of hope became Hannah's teacher in life. So this morning, moms, dads, the rest of us, maybe that pain of hope that you're going through right now could be your best teacher as it drives you to your knees to pray. So in a world that is broken as it is today, you look around you, man, it is a mess. It's a hot mess. All the contention, all the strife, all that we have to deal with. Some like Hannah this morning. Maybe you say, man, I feel that pain of hope for my children or for a family member or for a situation that's going on. A person, that pain of hope that somebody that you know that you're praying that's not born again yet. Or that son or that daughter that's kind of taken a left turn. And you're thinking, God, when will they take that right turn and come back to you? Are you praying for that? Is that the pain of hope that you're dealing? Or maybe somebody's sick in your family, a child, a friend. Is that pain of hope that you're praying for? How about you? Some of you, I've seen the prayer requests. You're just praying for spiritual guidance in your life. Is that the pain of hope you're going through? So here in this prayer of Hannah's, it reveals to us this morning the truth. The pain of hope can often lead a mother's prayer to God. The second thought for you this morning is not the pain of hope. It's just open hands. She comes to God with that pain of hope, and then she opens up her hands. In other words, she opens up her heart to God while she's praying. And I want you to read that verse again, and I've done something differently with this verse that you're going to see on the screen. I want us to read 1 Samuel 1:11, but I want you to notice two words that are so glaring that will help you this morning as you pray. It puts everything in perspective, and Hannah put it in perspective. It says this in 1 Samuel 1:11. It says, O Lord, I've capitalized the words for you to make it easy. There's two words. One of them's repeated twice. The other word is repeated three times. It says, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the afflictions of what? Your servant. So we have the Lord and we have Hannah. The Lord is the Lord. The servant is Hannah. And remember me and not forget your servant. But you will give your servant a son. Then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. And no razor shall touch his head. In other words, what is she trying to teach us in this prayer, guys, this morning? That God is God. That he is the Lord. He can do whatever he wants in this universe, and it's okay. She has, in this prayer, yes, she wanted a son, but she first recognized that God is God. And whether he answers my prayer or not, he's where he needs to be. He is the Lord of my life, and I've settled that. So what I have in the Lord, what I have in Jesus Christ, is more than I'll ever have in this life. She recognized that. And the second thing in that verse, you know what she recognized? She's God's servant. If we can remember that, we go to prayer, that God, you're God, you're Lord, you're sovereignty, you can do whatever you want to do on this earth, that every detail belongs to you, and God, I'm just your servant. Whatever you want me to do, I'm okay with that. If you answer my prayer, I'm okay with that. If you don't answer my prayer, oh my gosh, we're going to see that in a second. I'm okay with that. So she established God and her in that prayer. She had open hands, and how remarkable. If you will, then I will. And it says that in chapter 1, verse 11. You give me a son, I'm going to give it back to you. On June 12th coming up, we're going to have a baby dedication day. So any mothers, parents in here that would like to dedicate their child on June 12th. This is where we get this from. She took Samuel and dedicated him back to God. God, if you give me a son, I'm going to turn around and give them right back to you. And you know what? My hands are off. Whatever you want to do with Samuel, he's yours. That's what she's saying. You give him to me, he's going right back to you. That's a praying mother. So as we look at this morning, in response, God does give her a son. And remember, they kept a Nazarite vow. She said, no razor will cut his hair. That's a Nazarite. You know what that means? We don't do that here. But you know what that means when we dedicate our kid back to God? Now think of it on her level. Now fast forward it to here on Mother's Day. What does that mean for us? It means this. Because she dedicated him back to God and she said, he's a Nazarite, we won't cut his hair and keep his hair long. That was a vow they kept to God. When we dedicate our children back to God, and many of you already have done it, and you've dedicated yourself back to God, you know what that means? You know what it meant for Samuel? It meant this, that he knew that God came first. When we give our kids back to God, comes first in their life. Mom and dad don't, God does. We want that relationship to stick with them. It also, he learned this from his mother, that God came first. That's what she was teaching her son. And then she showed him through action and that his body was the temple of God. He did not own his body. God did. You cannot do with your body what you want to do. Your body belongs to God. Where did he learn that? His mother. And then the last thing, his talents, his ability, his service, everything that that young boy did were for God. She taught him that. So Hannah says, in other words, you give me a son, I will give him right back to you, God, the rest of your days. Hannah had a need. She took that need to God in prayer and was directed to meet her need. Sure, God wants to meet our needs. He wants to bless you. He wants to answer your prayers. He wants to give you what you're praying for. But in that verse, you remember, yes, she had a need that drove her to prayer, but it's through her prayer. What did she realize that was greater than her need? There's nothing wrong with that. But if we stop at that and say, God, would you bless me? Would you meet my needs? If we stop at that, we've lost what prayer really means. It's more than just meeting your needs in life. Jesus said, yes, pray for your daily bread. But you know what he said before that? He said this, your kingdom come, your will be done. That's why Paulson looked at the first two words were Lord. She got that relationship right. Then the servant was second. And that's what she was trying to learn through this prayer life of herself. The purpose of prayer is not to solve all your problems so you can walk away and get up from your knees and live happily ever after and have a self-centered life. Your prayer, like Hannah's, is to get God's will from heaven on this earth, to do what he wants to do so that he is glorified in your life. And that's what Samuel's mother did, Hannah. The last point is this in a mother's prayer, that prayers can shake this world. Moms, dads, all of us, when we get our needs and realize it's not the prayers of our needs, it's the prayers that God's will be glorified, you're going to shake your home. You're going to shake your community. When we as a church believe in prayer, we're going to shake this church and glorify God in what we do. She wanted a child really, really, really bad, and the other wife knew it. So Hannah kept praying. She kept on going to the temple. She kept on going to church. She finally prayed to God and let her aggravation out to God in prayer. And you know what the scripture says? We're going to look at 1 Samuel 1:18. And here, if I can help you mothers, I help all of us. When you get up from prayer, you know what Hannah said this? It says this in 1 Samuel 1:18. So the woman went her way and she ate, and her face was no longer sad. Wow. Of all that this woman has been through in her home life, when she got up from her knees in prayer, she began to eat and restore herself physically, and that her face was no longer sad. How did that happen? When you get up from your prayer, how could you put that smile back on your face where your face is no longer sad? She tells us how she did it. And that was already intriguing to me. How did that happen? How could this woman that's been criticized by the other wife, who had a closed womb, who went for years without a son, how can she get up from that prayer and her face not look so sad? It's interesting to think that in the prayer she said, Lord, I will give my son back to you. I wonder if this prayer, now watch this, if Hannah had a heart change through that prayer. It wasn't a long prayer. It's probably 12 words. Everything that she was going to get from God and everything she was going to get from God and wanted from God, you realize this, she wanted it. And here's the change of heart where she had a happy face in. She just only wanted it to praise God. It wasn't for her anymore. It was for God's glory. She said, if you give me a son, I'm going to give him back to you. That radically started changing the way she was thinking through her prayer life. That's how she walked up and got up with a happy face instead of a sad face. She only wanted whatever God was going to do to glorify him. Whether you give me your son or not, I'm going to glorify you. And if you give me a son, I'm going to glorify you and give him right back to you. I think that was a part that changed her life so that she was able to walk up and get up with a smile. And can I tell you this? She did that before God answered her prayer. Sometimes we wait to put that smile on after God answers our prayer. She was able to put on that happy face before God did anything. How could she do that? She was content in her Lord, knowing that whether her prayer was answered or not, God was going to do what was right. How many times in our life we wait and we wait, we grumble and we're aggravated until God finally answers and we realize he was answered. It was not for me, it was for him. Amazing woman here. Consider her final words that are fitting as we close her prayer, as we quickly realize what happens beyond this home. It's found in verse 10 of chapter 2. It says, the adversaries of the Lord, watch this now, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of whom? His anointed. That's the end of her prayer. As we look at it this, Hannah finds herself caught up in something far greater than she ever hoped. She just wanted a son. And look what God says. I'm not only going to give you a son, I'm going to give the son that's going to shake this world upside down. He's going to be the greatest prophet ever told here. And he's going to go out and rain thunder from heaven. That's her boy. You realize what God's doing. It wasn't a son. It wasn't just answering her prayer. It was that God's will be done. And that's why she could walk away with a smile on her face. Hannah knew God's purpose for his people succeeded anything that she could ever pray for herself. So when we pray, is it just for us? Is it just for our four walls who lives in that home? That's what Hannah thought at first. But then she put that smile on and realized, whoa. God's got a bigger picture going on here than I could ever dream of through my son. That's why she said, I'm going to give him back to you. God, do whatever you want to do with my boy because he belongs to you. So we look at this. So while she prayed for a son, she also prayed for God's greater purpose, that his kingdom will be done. And God gave her a son to meet that purpose. That's why God wants us to pray. That's how God wants us all to pray, not just to meet our needs, but his purpose to fulfill his greater purpose in this world. Is that how we pray? Hannah had simply prayed for a son, but in return, God answered a far bigger request, more than she could ever ask for. And I want to tell you this morning as I close, God still does that today. He will do that today. Who knows who God is working on right now in this room, right now in your family, as you're watching right now where you sit and watching this sermon this morning, that God is raising up through a faithful mother on her knees another generation of people who trust God, that God has a bigger picture than just our simple prayer. So if God was looking for a prophet, I kind of thought of this as I'm finishing up this story, I'm reading it. Why didn't he pick the first wife, Peninnah's son? She had plenty of them. Her womb was open. Hannah's was closed. Why didn't God just say, "Whoa, she's already had sons. Let me choose one of them." No. God didn't work that way. Why? He just wanted a woman that would turn her heart toward him for a greater purpose. Peninnah couldn't do that. Her heart would not let her do that. She was selfish. She could not do that. But Hannah could without a son. And God said, I'm going to choose her, a praying mother, and I'm going to do a miracle. I want to move in her life. And although they're all gone, couple thousand years ago, the story has now been erased, mostly from our memories. I want to just recapture that just a little bit with you this morning. What do they do that touches all of us this morning right here in this room? What they taught resonates in this modern day in which we live. See, it's very important as we look at this story of a praying mother. Samuel dedicated himself back to God and kept those Nazirite vows to God. But his mother had already done that before he was born. But first, before he was born, she dedicated herself to God. It all started with a praying mother who dedicated herself to God. And I look at this redemptive story starting way back in the Old Testament, moving through the scriptures and ending up into the New Testament through a praying mother, and then you have a son. Do you realize back in Genesis chapter 3 that God said he would crush the serpent's head, and that was Satan, through a woman's offspring who was Jesus Christ? He did that. And God still has more victories to do in this world. Do not forget that this morning as you leave. Jesus did and dealt the death blow to Satan that no other son could ever do, and that's what he did on the cross. Easter is how we come together as a church and we look forward to the resurrection and the death of Jesus Christ. He's done that. But more important, there's more of the devil's kingdom needs to be conquered today, and he can do it through your children. God is not done. He wants to use you as a mother, as a dad, to help you with your children and to raise them up in a godly home. And it only comes through prayer. Someone once said, if you look behind the men who, as they say, lift up their hills, we often find a mother like Hannah, a mother who prays for her boy. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for this beautiful prayer that we have gathered around, looking at this son who was raised in a home by a mother on her knees. What principles that we can take home with us today to learn how to pray. And if we can remember, what we have in Jesus Christ is going to be greater than anything we can have in this life. Help us to be content with what we have. And what you do is like icing on the cake. It goes far above than we could ever dream or ask. So in Hannah's prayer, as a reminder once again, we can kind of just get things reorganized in our thinking, in our relationship with you, that she recognized that you were Lord. God, you could do whatever you want, and I'm just your servant, a praying servant. So we thank you for all the mothers here today. We thank you for the praying mothers. We thank you for these principles that we all here this morning can apply to our lives. We thank you for our mothers. Help us never, as that video said, unnoticed things. We have a lot of mothers that pray, and I know that gets unnoticed. So we thank you for every single mother this morning in God's precious and holy name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Mothers, happy Mother's Day to you.